from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You hear quickly as we're getting right into it. Colorado now trails 17-14 at the hands of North Dakota State. They had a 4th-and-1, which they got stopped on. But a couple of big items around the NFL that we had today. Russell Wilson named the starter in Pittsburgh for their week 1 contest by Mike Tomlin. I don't know how much of a surprise that is. That became a true quarterback competition as camp rolled on. They take on Raheem Morris and the Falcons in week 1, so that should be interesting. Good pass rush. That group has. Mike Tomlin also said we will see Justin Fields take the field in week 1 because he's got too much talent not to play him. So that'd be interesting. Other quarterback news around the NFL. Gerard Mayo, according to sources, naming Jacoby Brissett the Patriots' week 1 starter to open up the regular season. They get their regular season kicked off on the road against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. I'll say this about Gerard Mayo and that decision. It was stupid. Let's call it what it was. Let's call it what it is. Drake May is a better quarterback at this point than Jacoby Brissett is. I don't give a damn about the offensive line. Are you worried about him getting his face beat in? If he is the quarterback that I think he can be, he will be able to elevate those around him. And because of the mobility, right? Because of the mobility, I think he'll be fine. And the offensive line won't be much of an impact for him. There's no way that I see Brissett starting. Maybe his first start, Drake May's talking about, comes at home against Miami on October 6th. So we'll see how that happens. Kyle Shanahan and company making news today. Ayuk signed to a long-term deal. Trent Williams, though, his status for week 1 officially starting to be in some doubt. Other quarterback news, the Browns, and this was laughable to me. The Browns restructured quarterback Deshaun Watson's contract today. Here is updated cap numbers. They cleared $35 million in cap space and now lead the NFL in cap room at $62 million. His 2024 cap hit is going to be $27 million. Peanuts. Dak Prescott's cap hit is $55 million. But his 2025 restructure, this is where it gets crazy. He's set to account for $72 million against the cap next year, $72 million against the cap in 2026, and then $26 million against the cap in 2027, which is a void year. So they're going to continue to move that money around, and he officially has the most untradeable contract in the history of pro sports. Sorry. We want to talk about quarterbacks that are under an immense amount of pressure going into next year. Look no further than Deshaun Watson. I cannot believe that they are in the situation that they are in right now contractually. And Rashee Rice, still in the practice field after his long, eventful summer filled with talking to the police too much, likely has clearance to play in week 1. The league told PFT, Pro Football Talk, 16 days ago that they won't take action until his legal case ends. That trial gets ready to start early next week. If paid leave is going to happen, it would have happened by now. Rashee Rice likely to be under likely to be dressed and playing Thursday night for the Chiefs as they take on the Ravens. Okay. Honestly, I'm stunned by all of it. Can't believe the NFL, they handle other situations more than others. Charles Davis coming up next.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Right now, I want to go out to the guest hotline and bring in one of my favorites, longtime NFL analyst for CBS Sports, our pal Charles Davis. Charles, how are you, my man?
First of all, hello. Great to talk to you again.
A lot of roster construction still going to be going on between now and the start of the regular season. But there was some big contractual news yesterday, Charles, and I said it at the top of the show, man, I'm going to give the Dallas Cowboys a church clap for about 5 minutes for finally getting this deal done. But I still look at this group, Charles, and I know you. I've talked to you a couple of times this offseason. You are a little bit more bullish on Dallas than I am. I just feel like going into the season with two new starters up front along your offensive line, two rookies at left tackle and center, arguably your most two important positions up front, your pass rush depth has really taken a hit. You lose Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler Jr. to Washington. Sam Williams tears his ACL a few weeks ago at the start of camp. Dallas feels like they've lost a lot, not to mention the Deron Bland injury, Charles. It feels like they've lost a lot in the contract negotiations have become very public. Does this team have enough internally to lock it in and say, you know what, put all the minutia to the side, let's go win football games?
You know, I feel I worry less about the two additions on the offensive line because that's become much more standard in this league. Remember when Kansas City lost to Tampa in the Super Bowl and Patrick Mahomes made one of the all-time great throws where he was parallel to the ground and almost got caught in the end zone, but just went down as an incomplete pass and one of the, 502 times he got hit that day? All right, you remember it was just awful, right? He was running, he was taking snap and running for his life that day. And Kansas City's like, okay, we got to reconstruct our offensive line. Yeah. The very next year they had a rookie starter at center, a rookie starter at right guard. I mean, you know, they just totally reconstructed the whole thing. So my point being, in today's world, this happens way more. I am definitely much more in your camp now off the other things you're talking about.
Yeah.
The contract stuff just kept lingering and lingering. And by the way, the quarterback's not signed.
Yep.
Right. They didn't do the new deal for the quarterback. And he looks around the league and sees the other ones who got him. So you've got that to contend with, right? Deron Bland's injury, can't downplay that. Guy became a ball hawk for him, okay? So all these things that go into it. Now, I do like that Mike Zimmer followed Dan Quinn at D coordinator.
Yeah.
Because one thing we know about Zim, he's going to get it done.
Yeah.
I don't care else you want to say.
Right.
It will be done with Mike Zimmer. But a lot of other stuff goes into it. Who's the real runner for this ball club? If you're trying to sell me on Zeke, that's a tough sell.
I mean, damn, Charles. I'm going to be real with it, Charles. For the comments that Jerry Jones made yesterday, and then you go back and point to Ezekiel Elliott being the marquee running back that you signed this offseason, doesn't add up. I know you probably saw CD on the old X app, Dalvin Cook working out with the medicine ball. Anytime I see running backs with the medicine ball in the offseason, it normally means they're about their business, but we'll see if that gets done.
Well, who knows? And remember, Dalvin last year didn't really click in during his time with the Jets. Now, part of that, of course, was, you know, Breece Hall came back better than expected the first year after a knee. All right, where we're all used to the second year after the knee being the best year, he came back like it didn't happen You know, I mean, it took very little time for him to kind of get up to full speed, and I thought that was a medical marvel and a testament to his working out and his rehab. But I'm much more in camp with you in terms of that with Dallas. But here's where Dallas is in better position and has nothing to do with them. We still have to see if Philadelphia's worked out everything from last year.
It's very true.
We have no guarantee that that is just all done and dusted and set behind us and we're good to go. I've seen the closest I've seen to an explanation was an article about 3 weeks ago about what really went wrong down the stretch.
Yes.
we just don't know. I mean, we'll have to find out, and I know everyone's on to this year, but they have to play now and go from there. Now, if they play that roster,
yes,
it's the best roster in the division. No ifs, ands, or buts as far as I'm concerned. So Dallas gets some help there. You know, maybe get some help there remains to be seen. The Giants, are you sitting here sweating them at this point if you're in the division? Not yet.
Yeah,
I like Dave's. I like the crew, but they still have a lot to prove themselves over in New York town. And then, of course, Washington is starting over a new head coach and new quarterback.
Charles, when you mention Washington, puff your chest out a little bit more next time when you mention my Washington Commanders, man. I've been texting you a couple of times throughout the summer, man. Jaden Daniels is looked really good. They haven't exposed them a lot in terms of, you know, they're getting the ball out of his hands quickly. They're going to move the pocket for him. I'm excited about what they could be. Enough about Washington, though. There's another team with a young quarterback, Charles. We'll get back to Washington. But there's another team with a young quarterback that made another defensive addition today, acquiring Ernest Jones from the Los Angeles Rams. I keep looking at the Titans and going, you know what? I don't know whether or not, you know, Will Levis is going to be any good, but I like the approach. Let's just surround him with as much talent as possible and see what the hell happens. And right now on paper, I like the Tennessee Titans to be one of those sleepers teams in a loaded AFC.
Yeah, and I think that they are in a position right now where internally they feel like they're being overlooked.
Yeah.
And it's going to work to their advantage because they are still a pretty young team in terms of, you know, the guys leading them. Your quarterback's in his second year. So you have a lot of that going around, and it wasn't that long ago they were running the division, and boy, that flipped fast, didn't it? Okay, I mean, that changed. Literally, right, 2 seasons ago, they had the division locked up at midseason, and they didn't finish the deal, and that's when the slide began.
Right.
So they feel like they're like, hold on a second. I get talking about what Houston did last year, and here they are, and they look like they've improved. How can you not, right? C.J. Stroud. Jacksonville was supposed to be that team that we were 2 years ago, and they did the same thing we did and spit the bit and didn't finish the deal. But they're still very, very talented. So everyone's talking Houston and Jacksonville. Then you got Indianapolis. If Anthony Richardson plays to that level at 17 games, that's a good football team. Get Jonathan Taylor for an entire year, and I can go on and on. And Tennessee's kind of the team that everybody just leaves out of the conversation.
Yeah.
I think your point is well taken. Look at the receivers that they've acquired since then, how they've beefed up the offensive line. Latham next to Peter Skoronski could be a heck of a tag team duo at left tackle and left guard for the next 10 years. Getting Lloyd Cushenberry at the center position, at the pivot, that's an experienced, strong veteran who can flat out play. The right side is the side they've been working on. You know, the two runners that they have now, Pollard and Tajay Spears. And then, as you said, they add in Ernest Jones. By the way, Kenneth Murray, who came up from the Chargers, looks like the Kenneth Murray that was drafted in the first round by the Chargers. He has been sensational all the way through camp. And if they're getting that Kenneth Murray that we all saw come out in the draft.
You're right.
And you can put Ernest Jones next to him.
They got some dudes, man. They got some dudes over there in Tennessee. It's crazy. All of a sudden, the South, I think by midseason.
The South is. Listen, how long ago was it we immediately said the AFC South was the worst division in football?
Yeah, I don't think you're taking crazy pills.
It wasn't terribly long ago. Now, you're like, hey, you want to go deal with the AFC South? Good luck. Because it is now a fist fight all the way through.
Especially if, you know, Will Levis and Anthony Richardson prove themselves to be the long-term answers at quarterback, it would probably be the division that's got the most stability at that position.
Hey Liddell, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the dean of quarterbacks in the AFC South? Who has the most experience?
Trevor Lawrence, which is crazy.
It's Trevor Lawrence. He's the most experienced player in the division. He's got the most years in the league. The best right now is C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis. Those are your four in the AFC South. That's a pretty strong base of quarterbacks based on potential and based on some production we've seen. Because Lawrence, before he got hurt, was showing mm-hmm. those flashes last year. He was showing why he should be ascending. This has to be a big year for him. Richardson, we saw it in the four games, but we only saw four games.
Right.
So we got to see more. And Levis played nine last year, but he's under new management now and going to play, I think, a little bit different style. I think a style that would be beneficial for him. This is going to be a very good division. There is no ifs, ands, or buts in my mind, and I think it's going to be fun to watch. But, yeah, how about that? And last but not least, Rand Carthon, the general manager at Tennessee,
yes. mm-hmm.
he's not standing around like he thinks his roster is
exactly.
for the future. He's making moves like, hey, we can contend right now, and Ernest Jones allows us another piece to do that.
Yeah, I think you got to feel that way if you're the Tennessee Titans. Everyone's trying to chase Kansas City, though, Charles. They're on a mad sprint to try to get that three-peat. I've said it all summer long, and then I got to see him up close in person during the joint practice with Washington, mind you, without Rodgers.
Yeah.
I think the New York Jets, man, it's not going to be some sexy, flashy offensive team. I think the running back trio that they have, the two guys that they drafted, Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis, alongside of Breece Hall, if you can get Rodgers in that sweet spot of where you're throwing it 25 to 27 times a game, that might even be too much, Charles. They have a big, nasty, physical offensive line that if they can stay healthy are going to beat people up, and that's going to allow them to play a physical brand of football as it gets into late December, early January. They just need Rodgers to protect the football, and they just got to stay healthy. I think that the Jets are a sleeping giant. Big market, big brand, not a lot of success, but I think they're ready to turn things over.
Isn't it funny that 2024 versus 2023, mm-hmm. I think they're a better roster in 2024 than they were in 23. But going into 23, we were going crazy.
Yeah.
When I say we, I'm saying collectively, anyone who was watching football,
right.
They were on Hard Knocks, Rodgers was coming over. All of a sudden we're thinking, man, this Jets team, is that the missing piece? Because the defense is really good. They're better this year. The roster is better. It's not just getting Aaron Rodgers back with the idea he's going to play the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
I think the roster is better. You pointed out with the moves they made in the offensive line. You talk about those three running backs. Those three running backs, that means we're leaving Israel
Abakanada out.
We're leaving him out, right?
Yeah. So he was dominant in the preseason.
They thought he was going to be a guy last year before he got hurt. So now that means they've gotten better at that position. They got better at the receiver position. Right on down the line. And that defense has the potential to be nasty. Now I'm a little bit worried because they love to rotate people in the pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that they lost is one of the most underrated pass rushers in the league is Bryce Huff.
Yeah.
Because his pressure per snap was off the charts. And they used him in that rotation. And guys came. John Franklin Myers isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Is the rotation the same that they're used to having? At the moment, the answer is no. And remember, Hassan Reddick has not reported yet. So that's the one piece that I'm looking at with the Jets. But in Jeff Ulbrich, their D coordinator, I believe. I believe in Brick in a big way.
100%. Yeah, I do agree with you that the pass rush situation gets interesting without Hassan Reddick. They need Will McDonald the fourth to have a big year. Tack McKinley's had a good preseason. Charles, you remember Tack McKinley when he came out, a guy that's overcome a lot of personal adversity. So I'm a guy that's rooting for the New York Jets. That division overall is interesting when you look at it. I think a lot of folks, in my opinion, are a little bit sleep on the Miami Dolphins, including myself. I spent all summer long talking about the numbers for Miami against the teams without winning records. But I go look at this defense, and maybe the sneakiest addition – all offseason was two guys. Kendall Fuller coming over from Washington now being a number two corner. And then Jordan Poyer, who is someone that has been, the consummate pro in this league and has got a ton of experience and can, lead the communication in that back end. I think they've gotten better on that side of the football. I got to see them be able to run it, though. I think they lost a couple of pieces up front, right? I think folks are worried about, their ability to protect Tua, but I think they've got to lean even more into the running attack, and hopefully their rookie Jalen Wright can be a big part of that.
Yeah, I worry less about protecting him because the way they throw the football balls out of his hand pretty quickly as a general rule. But I'm with you on running it. And that's incumbent upon them to decide, if I'm running it, I'm going to keep running it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to make sure that I press that running game. So we'll see how that part goes. But I'm like you on them in terms of, are we sleeping on them? Here's my deal with Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you want to play them in September, because the preseason doesn't count anymore because no one plays. So when you start the regular season and their speed comes at you, it is a heck of an adjustment. And how many coaches, players, personnel have you talked to over the years that have told you, yeah, you know, the first month of the season is really like preseason. You just want to kind of come out of it 2-2.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you settle in. Okay, yeah. I'll just leave you with this. I don't think it was any accident that the Dolphins, when they put 70 points on Denver last year, it was in September. It's third week of the season.
Yeah.
They laid it on them and then went to Buffalo and thought they were the deal. And Buffalo found a way to adjust. And after a track meet early, settled in and laid it on them. I saw them against Baltimore late in the season, week 17, in a big ball game. Baltimore trying to lock down number one seed. Miami trying to lock down the AFC East. That was a track meet early, and then Baltimore settled in and throttled them the rest of the way. That's what Miami's got to figure out. How do we get past the track meet stage and get to the grind stage and find ways to win some of those ball games? And that's where they're headed right now, trying to do that. But I'll leave you with this. Jordan Poyer, love the move. You know why? I think it really helps unlock Javon Holland back there. Allows Holland to be everything, everywhere, anywhere, doing all that stuff. And Poyer knows how to do that because he did that with Micah Hyde.
For sure. I know Holland, I believe, I don't know if he's gotten his big payday yet, but one of the young up-and-coming safeties in the National Football League. Charles, I appreciate you as always, my man. Can't wait to hear you on the call of some games this year, my brother.
Man, thank you. It's always great to hear from you. Enjoy your time, and I'll put a little more respect in those Washington Commanders when I talk about them.
I'm about to say, Charles, we'll do it again soon. My brother, that is Charles Davis. Yes, sir. That is Charles Davis, one of the absolute best. Talking all things NFL. We will take a quick timeout. You're the Fan. Big weekend of college football. Coming up ahead, couple of big-time matchups within the top 25. The Aflac kickoff is the one that I know a lot of us are going to have circled. Georgia playing host to 14th-ranked Clemson. We'll see Miami and Florida. I'm excited for that one as well. To talk all things college football, including this big weekend that we have ahead, joining us right now on the guest hotline is former Clemson head coach and ACC network analyst Tommy Bowden. Tommy, what's going on, my brother? How you feeling?
Good afternoon. We're just getting ready for the big kickoff on this. Well, it's really not Saturday. I think there's 20 games on Thursday and another 15 on Friday. So I'd like to say I'm waiting for Saturday, but that's not the way it is anymore.
Yeah, you're darn right, man. It is going to be exciting. There are a couple of big marquee matchups on Thursday. I know a lot of folks excited to see Coach Prime in Colorado for year two. We'll get to them, I hear, momentarily. But I got to start with what we saw this past weekend. Brent Key and company, Georgia Tech, coming in as major underdogs against Florida State. And if you got the chance to watch that game, from the opening snap, Brent Key's group dominated both sides of the line of scrimmage. Their defense was a group that was under a lot of scrutiny last year. They showed a lot of good pressure packages on third down, forcing DJU into some tough decisions. When you look overall at why Florida State ultimately did not get the job done, Tommy, what would you say?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, and you mentioned the domination, I think the battle won up front. In a game like that, Georgia Tech try out to prove something. Florida State probably read too many press clippings. Usually that fades in the first quarter. Georgia Tech comes out real aggressive. It never faded. Georgia kept up the physicality on the offensive line. That surprised me. Dabo Swinney probably feeling a little good about right now because, in his opinion, DJU did not have it. I remember as a young coach sitting in my father's personnel quarterback and talk about one of his quarterbacks. He said, he ain't got it. And, well, what's it? Well, you know, we find out what it is, and he don't have it. So I think at the end of the – now, I don't throw the loss on him,
No.
But I'm just saying, is going from here on out for Florida State to jump back in as a contender, as a top 12 team in the playoffs, they better find somebody with it. But
Can I cut you off real quick here? Because I think it is fascinating. Think about the position that program is in with Mike Norvell coming off a 13-0 season. To go out and get him as your portal quarterback to try to keep the momentum going, what the hell were they thinking?
You know, I don't know. When they lost on, was it Cam Ward that went to Miami? Is that the guy's name?
Yes,
Cam Ward. They were in it heavy, hot and heavy on him. I think he brought more to the table had a more impressive resume. And when they lost out on him, I think they fell back to DJ, and I don't think he's the answer. I think Clemson proved that was proven at Clemson. I'm a little bit surprised when I saw that marriage when that happened, because to hitch your horse to a guy that has had, just not be able to get over the hump.
Let's be real. He has had multiple opportunities to be the big man on campus at three different spots and hasn't earned it. I will give him this credit. That final touchdown drive that he had to tie things up, I thought was the best he looked all game. And for him to save his best up for the biggest moment, I think was a change for him. But ultimately, in an ACC that I think is a lot better than people give it credit for, Florida State looks like they're in trouble. They're going to be a run-first team, I think, for the majority of the regular season.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting on how they respond.
Yeah.
After the Georgia game, they had some time, a lot of time to regather and refocus and kind of fill the holes that they had from NFL draft.
Yeah.
But it looks like there's a lot more holes, I'm sure, than what they anticipated. And, you mentioned that last drive with DJ Underwood. He played one game like that at Clemson against Notre Dame. I don't know if he came in and he played that great game, and he looked to be the answer. But there are obviously some deep-seated issues, and they resurfaced. And now it's been going on a three-year continuum. And I do think Florida State's going to have some potential problems on jumping in the top 12. I thought before the season they are shoo-in for the top 12, but now I think you got to replace Clemson instead of Florida State as one of ACC's contenders in the top 12.
Yeah, we'll get to the Tigers here right now, man. They got a big matchup to really put on, I would say, Tommy, for the entire ACC. Everyone across the country feels as if Georgia's the best team. I don't know if they come out and win this weekend, but I think they've got a massive opportunity to show that they deserve a spot in that top 12. What I'm curious to see, because I'm a big offensive guy, I want to see Klubnik to Wesco Jr. How is that relationship continuing to develop? I know Klubnik had an interesting quote at the ACC kickoff saying, you'll see when it comes to Wesco. How good do you think that duo could be right away, and where do you think they rank in a revamped, loaded, I would say, ACC?
Well, I think you put you hit the nail on the head as far as who needs to be productive in a game of this magnitude. You can go back to when Dabo first went; they had a game, Taj Boyd, followed up by Deshaun Watson, followed up by. I forget the guy's name. Generational quarterback went the first round. What was the guy's
name? Trevor Lawrence.
I'm sorry. Yeah, guys, I feel like an idiot for getting him. But those are all guys that produced in big games. And for you to mention Cade Coppola, I think that's going to be the key in this Georgia game on how well he can connect with his skill people. They're going to need big plays. I don't think they can sit and win a knockdown, drag-out fight with the University of Georgia. So it's important for those two guys to be productive. And Clemson has had that in the past. I don't know if Cade is up to those three guys. I think this will be a good indication. And the other thing that's really going to be interesting, Florida State drops, Clemson drops. ACC has fallen behind a little bit to the Big Ten, the SEC. I think those two marquee games to start the college season is really going to put the ACC behind the eight ball on trying to regain credibility as one of the top three conferences.
I think you make a good point there, man. That's why I thought this weekend was so interesting for Georgia Tech to be able to win, because they're a team that I saw most predicted they were, second or third worst team in the conference, and for them to come out and punch Florida State in the mouth the way that they did, if Florida State can finish well – if Clemson can prove to be tough against Georgia, does the committee maybe look at the depth of this conference and say, wow, you've got a Miami that's supposed to be much improved. Florida State, even though they slipped up early, much improved. Virginia Tech with Kyron Drones, I think is going to be much improved. I don't know if that is enough to improve the reputation of this conference, but we'll see. I want to get back to Clemson here for a second. Because you mentioned Klubnik and it really being on him. They got to go out and establish some type of balance offensively. If you watched the Gator Bowl last year, Phil Maffa and what he was able to do, 4 touchdown runs, ran over a couple of linebackers. He's got the physicality, I think, that this offense needs. How well do you think this Clemson offensive line is going to be able to do against this defensive line of Georgia?
Well, I think you've just seen the importance of the game that was just played, Georgia Tech's ability to dominate the line of scrimmage. And for Clemson, there's no doubt take a little bit of pressure off of Cade by establishing some kind of running game. But, man, this is the elite. This is the top. This is the cream of the crop in college football as far as defensive play and defensive physicality up front in their front seven. If they can do that, they got a chance. If they can't, it's going to be a long, long day. But the running back at Clemson, yes, he is big. He is physical. But he's going to be running against the biggest and the most physical front, but possibly in college football.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Right now, looking at the spread, Georgia 13.5-point favorites. I may sprinkle a little bit of cheddar on that one. I don't know whether or not, you know, they're 14 points better or whether or not, you know, Clemson will be able to compete in that one. But it's probably one of my favorite games of the weekend. Another game that I'm super interested in is another program, Tommy, that's got a lot of pressure on them. James Franklin at Penn State has come in and done enough to get them back to where they're a power player in the conference, but they haven't been able to win any big games. They travel to West Virginia in a hostile environment against a program that I think is much improved. How do you see Penn State, West Virginia going? Because I'm pretty high on the Mountaineers.
You know, we've talked a lot about the quarterback play, but Green, the quarterback at West Virginia, he brings something to the table, the running ability. Unfortunately, he has not performed well. And, you know, his passing completion percentage is a little over 50%, I think 53%. And that's not very good. That's very average. He'll have to play a lot better versus Penn State. But he does present problems for Penn State. He is a tough guy. He's a leader. He's emotional. He's enthusiastic. He's a spark plug, not only for the offense, but for the team and on that sideline. So if he can hit some passes and throw for over 60%, I think they've got a great chance to beat him. The pressure, like you say, is on Penn State. People waiting for Penn State from what Ohio State and Michigan has done with Ryan Day and of course, Harbaugh, taking national championship. Hey, we've waited long enough. 10 wins is good, but they get impatient because of the history with Joe Paterno. So when you said pressure, yes, there is pressure on James Franklin.
Yeah, 110%, man. And I think, you know, Penn State also with the quarterback trying to prove that he is legit when it comes to being a big-time guy at the next level. I think a lot riding on this season for the Nittany Lions. I want to go back to the ACC for a second. Miami, Tommy, is a group that, look, it's now or never for Coach Cristobal, right? You're able to get Cam Ward in there. You're able to spend some big-time money in the portal. It looks like a group that is right now ranked 19th, but I wouldn't be stunned if they end up making it in to the 12-team college football playoff. They're 2.5-point favorites on the road against Florida. It's one of those games that if I was a college player, I'd love it, because if you lose it early like this, if you're Miami, your season's probably over, right?
Yeah, you know, every year it's amazing what Jimmy Johnson and Dennis Erickson and Howard Schnellenberger and all those coaches did with winning national championships. And then all of a sudden, they're back. They're close. They've got the quarterback. I fall for the same thing because I know they're here. I was at Florida State as a young coach playing Miami. You're on all those teams. And Cristobal, he's a great recruiter. And you look how they're nationally ranked. They've got a great defensive front. They look like they do in the past. But, you know, in Tarzan, you know, they look like Tarzan, play like Jane sometimes. And is it going to be that? Is it going to be that same thing? But man, on paper, oh
yeah,
it's Miami. They're back. They've got their swagger. Man, it's just they fall. So until they do it, and we're gonna have to probably won't know until probably 3/4 of the way of the year. But they look great. They're Miami. They're back, and they look the same. The green and orange. But I can't drink the Kool-Aid again. I've done it too many times.
That may be the line of the afternoon. Look like Tarzan, play like Jane. Isn't that something?
Yeah,
It is a shame. Want to take a look at the new revamped Big Ten, Coach, because I would have to say, I'd probably say this is the best conference in college football. I know the SEC, you know, still has their powerhouses in it. Ohio State, we talked about, you know, programs under pressure this year. With Ohio State buying this $20 million roster that they bought, bringing in Judkins, the star-studded freshman wide receiver, they've got a lot going in their favor. Is it now or never for Ohio State? And I understand they've got pressure on them, Coach, but is it the type of pressure where if you don't win the whole thing this year, could you potentially see Ryan Day on the hot seat?
You know, for so many years, my father couldn't win the big one. He can't win the big one. They are patient with him and stayed with him. He had 14 top five finishes. But I think Ron Day is that type of guy. He is going to get a national championship. I noticed that Urban Meyer says, this is the most talented Ohio State team I have ever seen. Now, obviously, he's saying that to add a little additional pressure on Ron Day.
Because, right.
Hey, I went there and won a national championship. I didn't have near the players you got, Ryan. You got the best in the history of college football. I'm sure Ron appreciates that kind of assistance from Urban. But, yeah, I think he could have another 11-win season. If he doesn't win the national championship of the Big Ten, I don't think they'll get rid of him. Yeah, I think more his pressure is internal pressure. He wants it so bad. Yeah, he wants it so bad. And the media, yes, will say pressure. Ohio State, they've lost to Michigan 3 years in a row. Michigan won the national championship. But I think the powers to be now it does need to beat Michigan, as I say that. Beat them and win your 11 games. Lose to somebody else. But I don't think the pressure, other than what the media might put on, is as intense as it deep down is.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, right? You mentioned the comments from Urban Meyer. I caught wind of those as well, and I agree with 100% what you said. It's one of those things where it's like, hey, man, you know, you see that you wanted to be in the big boy chair so bad. It ain't as easy as you thought it was, especially when you go out and acquire all this big-time talent. The team that I'm really looking at, though, when it comes to the Big Ten is Oregon. I really am curious to see – you know, if Coach Dan Lanning and company can keep it going. Really good play last year out of transfer quarterback Bo Nix. Do you get the same this year with Dillon Gabriel? And for Oregon, Coach, even if they don't win the big game this year, based on all of the resources that they have to make that program one of the blue bloods in college football, I think they're here to stay for a long time.
They've never had a problem with recruiting, but I think this will enhance their recruiting to another level because of the Big Ten appeal, and probably going to make them fairly lucrative to some of the Midwest players that they haven't been that hot on.
Yeah.
But, you know, for so many years we have sat there and looked at the Big 12. The Pac-12. They're way on the West Coast. We don't know much about media. Their games are later. They don't play anybody. They don't play defense. We're finally going to be able to tell if that's a true statement or not, whether all those things we said for years about the Pac-12 on just being an offensive league and no defense, no physicality. They're going to grow into physicality if they don't have it, but their head coach, his middle name is physicality with his background with Saban and Kirby Smart. That's what he preaches to them. That's in his DNA. So I think of all the Pac-12 teams, they're going to make the adjustment to the Big 12 as much as any, maybe more so than Lincoln Riley, who has more of an offensive background, but he's changed course defensive coordinators. But again, that's another story.
I would feel crazy, Coach, if I let you go without asking about Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes. Two-parter for you on them. One, as a former head coach and someone that's had to sit in that seat and answer questions at the podium, what did you make of Deion and him and the program restricting access to that one CBS reporter?
You know, one of the things I learned from my father about the media, and my father was great with the media, maybe more so than any head coach as far as his accessibility and the way he handled them. But his motto was kill them with kindness, you know. And I think, as they say, you catch more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. And let him stay.
For sure.
Maybe don't answer his questions. Maybe answer his questions every other day or every third day. And give them maybe generic answers. But I think you hurt yourself when you exclude one and try to limit their accessibility to your program. I think it's a mistake. But I was around a guy that was as accessible as anybody.
Right.
And so I disagree with how he handled it. But I've had guys like that, and I've wanted to kick them out. And I went to my sports information director, and I said, I don't want that guy anymore. In my press conference, and the guy said, "Hey, let me explain something to you."
Yeah, right.
And
there's a couple of rules,
you know,
here, Coach.
You can't do that. So, I disagree how he's handled it, the media standpoint.
Coach, how do you view the way he's been covered since he's gotten to Boulder? Because it felt like last year, you know, when they knock off TCU in the opener, there was like this honeymoon feel around the program, and everyone was rooting for him, and they had all the nationally televised games. It feels like to me he is one of the more polarizing guys now in all of pro sports, but the scrutiny that he has been under from the way that he exiled the roster to the heavy use of the portal, what do you make of the way he's been covered here the first couple seasons?
You know, unfortunately, he invites that kind of scrutiny because of how he handles the press. He's prime time.
Yeah.
But to me as a coach, I look at, okay, the margin of victory or the margin of loss before he got there was, I think, like 30-some points.
Yeah.
He chopped that down to 4 wins, some last-point losses, and he probably cut that thing to maybe 7 points to start a third. I think they're on to something really good. And I think if anybody can handle the media, it's prime time. I like what he's done. Of course, he gets criticized about the high school recruiting. Once he wins, they'll forget about that.
Yeah.
And go to the transfer portal as a way of success. So, yes, is he probably criticized a little bit too unfairly by the media? But he brings that on himself, you know. So that goes
exactly.
To territory if that's the way you want to react. But from a X and O standpoint and look at what he's done and the way he's built it, I think they're on to something good at Colorado with him.
Real quick, Coach, I'll let you go on this. Put you on the hot seat. Who wins the national title, man?
I'm gonna say Georgia. They got the quarterback.
Yeah.
They've recruited well, and their quarterback is just—he's got it. You look at him, you know, man. He don't look like that much, but he's kind of like Stetson Bennett. He just produces. So I think they've got all the ingredients.
For sure, Coach. I appreciate you giving me some time as always, my man. We'll do it again soon.
Hey, y'all enjoy the season.
That is going to do it, though. Right here on the Fan, the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up next.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.